right. Amen. Nicodemus didn't know. He said, "Thou art a master of Israel and knowest not these things." He didn't know them. Jesus told the woman at the well, "You worship, you know not what." That's what he said. Knowing is an experience word. If you say, "I know," that means I experienced it. That's right. And if you know God, you've experienced the grace of God in Christ in salvation. That's the way it works. And so I thank God for that. I want to just go ahead and try to preach a little tonight and say some things from the book of 1 John. If you got a Bible, we'll look at 1 John. A lot of these letters and things that's been written in here was to, of course, preach and speak truth, but it's also to answer the adversary or them that was teaching false things. John's letter was written in a time when the Gnostics was what they called themselves believers, but they weren't true Bible believers or scriptural believers or Christ believers. And that's, they believed in a God, but he was, that he couldn't been flesh. Jesus wasn't flesh, they said. And they were philosophers. And that was their message. They believed the body was just corrupt material and they could do anything they wanted to with it. And that's not true. It's answered here in this book. In this book here, that's why he said in John, 1 John 4, "Try the spirits whether they be of God." Every man that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every man that denies that is the Antichrist. He's telling them that. Listen, we use this verse quite often, but it's against the Gnostics' belief. "Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That was the world of religion that they had overcame by the Spirit of God, knowing the truth. John said, "If he that's of God heareth us." And so he split it right down the middle and said, "Either on God's side or that side." But he revealed the truth of God. If you really look at how he wrote this letter, in verse 1, he said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen." He said, "I've seen him with our eyes, which have looked upon," notice, "and our hands have handled of the word of life." And so we've handled him. We put our hands on him. He was God in the flesh. They denied that. Amen. They believed that it was a spirit. He was just a spirit. They didn't believe that actually God would come in the flesh and be in a body that we house. But he was. And they denied that. So he's making this truth that he's experienced this fellowship, this handling of our Lord. Verse 2, "For the life was manifested." And again, he said, "We've seen it and bear witness and showing you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us." So he said here, we've seen this Lord Jesus. Amen. We've talked to him. We've thank God fellowship with him. He said in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you," he said, "that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." The fellowship is a communion. It's a personal communion with a person. It's not whispering words into the air. It's a true fellowship. Jesus Christ is here tonight. He's in us by His Spirit, but His presence, thank God, as I sat there today and read, amen, I felt the presence of Him, amen, in the person of Christ, thank God, manifest by His Spirit, thank God, He's seated on the throne, He ascended back to heaven bodily,
Amen. That's right. And God said, amen, he's at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Listen, he did that. That had to be. Amen. If he had not ascended to the throne, he would have never had all the authority, because the authority had been given him, and he's on the throne and rules and reigns. Thank God. And power and authority tonight. And there's nobody else that does it. Amen. He does it. He's a bodily Lord. Hey, we shall see him as he is, John said. Amen. And we shall be made like him. That's what he said. Thank God that's him. Amen. He said, I fellowship with this God. I fellowship with this Christ. Amen. He's telling this to these he's writing to. He said, these things write we unto you. Why? That your joy may be full. What robs a man of joy, amen, it's not fellowshipping with him. It's not seeing him for who he is. It's not seeing, thank God, that's joy. That's gladness of heart. Amen. Through the fellowship. That's why we have fellowship. Thank God, we fellowship in the Spirit of God. And there's joy in fellowship. If you get hooked up in fellowship, amen, that's why, thank God, that we enjoy it. Because he's amongst us. Amen. He'll be amongst us. Amen. If we fellowship in his name, amen, in the power of God, there's my joy in the fellowship of God tonight. Amen. That's just like that man's funeral I preached. Friday, I didn't know that man. I went to his room. He's next door to my daddy. They wanted me to, Johnny said, he wants you to come by. He wants to talk about the Bible. Well, I went in there and we got to talk about Jesus and the scripture and the power of God to come in the room. It was an effectual meeting because of the presence of God. Amen. But the fellowship amongst the truth of God. He is truth tonight. Notice this here. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. There's no darkness in God. He's light tonight. Amen. If your fellowship, amen, thank God with him, it'll all be in the light. Because he is light. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. This is what he's saying. He said, if we say we have fellowship with him, then we're in the light. We're not walking in darkness. You can't walk in darkness and fellowship with him. You can't even walk in darkness and fellowship with the brethren. You'll want to get away from them. If you're in the light of God, you want to be around the light of God. Listen, brother, darkness is sin. You can't have him and sin. Amen. Listen. Hey, God, that's why we have fellowship with him. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The fellowship's in spirit. You can't fellowship with God in the flesh. He's not fleshly. Jesus took on a body of flesh. Amen. Listen. But thank God he had victory over it. Amen. He never sinned in it. He never could sin. He was tested as a man. But he had victory as God. Amen. Listen. Thank God and I can tell you this. Amen. That he did not sin. He could not sin. Amen. But he was tempted as all points. Like as we are yet without sin. He can help us in any temptation. That's right. That's why I thank God he's the only one that can. Amen. If I help you, it'll be because I spiritually, in spirit, told you the words of God. And brother, the Holy Spirit brings these things to your remembrance. Most sins are willfully. They're not in ignorance. Most of them is acts that we do in the flesh that the flesh wants to do. Amen. You can't listen. It's hard to pull God up or pull our fellowship and grounds up with God while we're living in darkness. You can't do it. He's all light. He'll not come to darkness. A man's got to get darkness out of his heart. He can't have darkness in his heart and fellowship with God. He's only living from shoulders up when he does it. I can live shoulders up. You can live shoulders up if you got any knowledge of the Bible. But it's no heart in it. There's no spirit in it. That's why he said, he that hateth his brother abides in darkness now. How can one thing he said, we know we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. He didn't have this brother abides in death. That death means there's a separation between the brethren. Amen. Because of that man's heart. Amen. It'll get tight, but it's the truth. There ain't no variance with God. No shadow of turning. Amen. He ain't going to turn from me and he won't turn from you. Amen. Listen, he ain't going to turn your way. You'll have to turn his. If you want him, if you want fellowship with him, there's grounds of fellowship. There's grounds of fellowship in the church. Notice this here. Oh, it's a great verse right here in verse 7. But if, that's a conditional thing. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have, that's possessional, we have fellowship one with another. If I'm in the light, then I'm going to have fellowship with people in the light. If a man can't fellowship with me, amen, if I'm in the light, then that means he's got some darkness in him. Amen, he needs to get out, or I need to get out. Amen, because fellowship, listen, if a man walks in the light, walk means that's your conversation of living. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. It's not might, we have it. I want to be in fellowship with God because somebody needs me to walk in the light. And I need to walk in the light. Well, I hear who needs to walk in the light. My wife might need a prayer to get through. And if I'm in fellowship with him, then we talking. We on talking grounds. Because I'm in spirit, in light, not in darkness. And darkness causes, amen, me not to be on the grounds. Amen, listen, are you free tonight? Amen. I'm going to tell you what gets me back in line. He does. In his mercies. You know why? Because he loves me and he wants fellowship with me. The only way I can have true fellowship with you is to have true fellowship with him. How can I have fellowship with you and not have fellowship with him in spiritual life? In the spirit. Because the spirit of God, amen, is a producer of what I'm preaching tonight. Notice this here, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. I'm not adding to what I just read. I want to give it to you. If we say we have no sin, when we do, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Listen, if you fellowship in light, then light reveals darkness. If you get around where God's at, you won't boast in nothing about yourself. You'll say, woe is me. In my best state is vanity. In my best state is vanity. If we say, that's what they were saying. Now you can't sin. You can do what you want to, as long as you in the body. Because the body's got corruption. It does. But it don't have the right, there's no excuse to sin. What? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That means that we don't continue living in sin. That we might prove. That would be like me saying, well, I think I'll go out and get a couple drinks tonight and get half high and then ask God to forgive me in the morning. No, it don't work like that. In fact, if a man thinks that way, then he's got darkness in him. Somebody asked me, do I think it's all right to drink? I said, well, I'll tell you this, it ain't for me. You say, why? Because I don't have no control over it.
And you don't neither. You'd be better to handle a rattlesnake than try to handle sin. And I ain't picking no snake up. But you know what? Our own heart deceives us and says, yeah, you can take it. Our heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is what that means. The nature of Adam within us is deceitful. Pete said, that's a strong statement. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things, including the serpent. That's what he thought on that scripture. He said, that means, buddy, you got some deep deceit in you. And the only hope you got is God get in you to clean you from it. And it's still going to pop up on you. A man thinks he don't never sin. He's a lie and the truth ain't in him. Amen. The more light you're in, the more revelation of what you are and where you're at. You do pretty good as long as you're around somebody else that you think you better than. Here's the thing. I want to tell you this. There's nobody better than anybody else in the body. I'm not better than you. And you're not better than me. And we all have the same problems. We all have the same battles. Some specifically battles in our life that we have that's embedded in us from the past and from us allowing it to battle us. Some battles are just plain out self-afflicted because we give place to it. Why didn't Saul kill the king? He said, kill all the Amalekites. Why did he spare the king? Why did he spare the choice oxen? Because he didn't want to get rid of it. There's things in our life that's a struggle to get out. That's right. Amen. You say, what shall we get out? Whatever the light reveals to you. That's all you can go by. Amen. If the light don't reveal it to you, thank God you won't know it. Light reveals things. Go in the dark night, you cut a light on it, reveals what's around you and where you at. That's why you stump your toe at night and it's dark in the house. You think you got your own pathway. Amen. I done it the other night. I put something in the floor. Forgot about it, and I walked right into it, and I went the other night. My wife was sleeping good, and I was coming back. I went to the kitchen and took a sip of a drink, and I was thirsty, and I come back, and right there's a little narrow path into the bedroom, and there's a hall tree right there, and I ran slap into it and knocked all them pictures off of it. And I thought, you know, if there was some light here, I'd have seen it. You can't walk in darkness and not stumble. You gotta stumble. And you, listen, thank God there ain't nothing but stumbling blocks. Amen. A lot of people are stumbling blocks. Amen. Because they're too proud. Amen. To get the stumbling block out of the way. And make it a clear path. You know what? I love my grandchildren tonight. I give my life for them and I mean that. By the grace of God. I would not set up a stumbling block for them to cause them hurt. Notice verse 9. If we confess our sins, that means when you can make a confession of sin, you agree with God against yourself, amen, and you know it is a sin, and rather you say, God, amen, this is the way I talk to the Lord. Father, amen, I know I've done this. I know it's no good. I know I'm evil. I know, God, I shouldn't have done it, and I'm asking you to forgive me of it and grant me forgiveness because that's the only thing I can do is ask you. He said, if we confess our sins, not somebody else's, that's the problem. We got our eyes on everybody else's sin besides our own. You'll never go nowhere in the Christian life if you look in at everybody else. Amen. No. And you can't go nowhere if you think you're better than everybody else. You're deceiving yourself. You got to see. Brother, I know this is right.
if we confess our sins, not somebody else's sin. Amen. Let God deal with them. Amen. Keep yourself in tune with God. He is faithful. Thank God he's faithful. That means, amen, that you can trust him. Amen. What he says, you can trust. God is faithful and just. That means he's going to do the right thing. You can count on that. He's just to forgive us our sins. Thank God for that, buddy. That 1 John 1:9 has been wore out. It's more than a confession. It's a truth that brings forth forgiveness in a man that will confess is his sin that's hindered him from being in fellowship with God and the light shining through his life. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Now, I know this is tough, but it's the truth. Jesus is our example. He never need forgiveness. He's the giver of forgiveness. But he is our example tonight. He taught his own men, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father give you of your trespasses. That's what he said. In other words, if I can't forgive my wife, or if I can't forgive a brother, if I can't forgive a man, amen, that trespass against me, how can I look to God to forgive me of my trespasses? And then we get to the old saying, well, you don't know what they done to me. I'm going to tell you what, son, they ain't never done nothing to you to cry that we didn't do toward him. I'm going by the book. I know there's people that don't like me. Amen. There's people that don't like you. They don't change the fact. That's the way God put it. Amen. That's right. I don't like the way you preach. An old woman, I don't say that disrespectfully, one time she was aggravated at me. And I was young then. I didn't care. But I respected her. She said, I don't like the way you preach. You preach too loud. And I said, ma'am, I can't control the way God put it in me. That's his business. That's the truth. She's mad. I've had people not shake my hand before. I don't go to the back door no more. I got all kind of comments down through the years, so I thought, well, I'll just stay up here. If they won't come up here and tell me, I'll listen. Brother, do you not? He said, marvel not, the world hates you. But God didn't tell us in turn hate them. Amen. God help us all. The old preacher said, Brother Hutt, he's dead now. Paul Barrett, Rolf Barner's funeral. He's a good man. I said, Brother Hyde, unless you're willing, let me a rug for people to wipe your feet on some, you probably never will be able to help them kind of people. Pretty tough. But I'm telling you one thing. You can't live with unforgiveness. You can't. If you got unforgiveness in your heart, then you're in darkness. If you got jealousy in your heart, you're in darkness. If you got envy in your heart, you're in darkness. If you got all in your heart, you're in darkness. If I get mad at you and I don't make it right with you, then I got darkness in my heart. I'm trying to think of something. Ought means I got something against you. He said, if we confess our sins, it's a sin not to forgive somebody. There never can be complete reconciliation with the other party unless there's reconciliation in repentance and agreement. But you can live without
having unforgiveness in your heart. The old Methodist preacher, holiness preacher, he wrote me a letter and said he would not come and hear me preach or come to this church. He listened to me on the radio. He said, because I preach a sinning religion. Because he didn't sin. And I told him I loved him. But he sins. The man that says he don't sin according to this scripture, you know what he said? That's for lost people. No, no, son. I can prove it ain't for lost people. The man that wrote it said, if we, amen, it ain't for lost people. It's dealing with fellowship. It ain't dealing with salvation. It's dealing with the way we should fellowship with Him and fellowship one with another, because that's how it's blessed by God. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. That's what it says. That means that we don't have the word of truth in this matter in us, because we're not telling the truth about ourselves. You know what's hard? It ain't hard for you to tell the truth on somebody else, but it's hard for you to tell the truth on yourself. But if the light ever shines, you say, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. I'm the problem. Amen. Every man's responsible for his own home. Right. You say, what if she don't follow me? Well, she's had the will of God, got darkness in her heart. I know people think that. My wife said one time, years ago, she said, I bet them women in the church don't even think you love them. I said, admire them, tell them the truth that they can love them. Love their husband. Amen. We laugh about it because I'm so forward. I went down there to Bojangles this week, and Spencer and pulled up. I said, I want two butter biscuits and a large unsweet tea and a large cherry wine. She come back and said, you want two sausage biscuits? I said, I want two butter biscuits. So when I got up there, she wouldn't talk to me. She was mad. Left me a straw out. I said, check the bag. I said, ma'am, thank you. It wasn't covered up. And my wife said, maybe you need to work on that. I don't mean to be that way. It's just the way it is sometimes. Amen. I mean, how can you say two butter biscuits and get two sausage biscuits? But I will say this. It's my sin. It's your sin. You ever looked at yourself really in the mirror and say, wait a minute. It's me. It's not Myra. It's Joel. Now, if it's Myra, God will deal with Myra. I know you have to be the preacher's wife to hear this stuff, but it's just the way it is. It is. I can't confess her sin. She can't confess mine. That's right. And you can't confess mine, and I can't confess yours. You know, Job was so spiritual that he prayed for his own children and offered up offerings and sacrifices in case they had sinned. That's what it says. That's a good holy man right there. God said there wasn't another like him, but he proved that he was just flesh, and God still blessed him at the end. Job went through a terrible time, but he never cursed God nor blamed him with his lips. He cursed the day he was born. God doubled everything he had. He lost it all, and then he got doubled at the end of his life, and he was full of days too. God let it bless his wife. But I'm just saying this tonight, friend, that where the church is today, nobody sins no more. But brother, we do. We do. I want to give you this here, and I'll be through. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Then he turns this, and I'm trying to get this thing, because one moment he said, you sin. And then he said, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. So he said here that you've got the written word Jesus used against Satan that you sin not. You've got the spoken word. And right here they didn't have the complete Bible. But they had the word. And he was the word. And he said, these things I have written unto you. He said, written right unto you. I put it on paper. Amen. And thank God in your heart where it's wrote by hearing me. Amen. I've wrote it unto you in your heart. Amen. That you sin not. Don't do it. How are you going to sin? That you sin not by not confessing your sin. Think about that. You sin not by not confessing your sin. He said here in the Bible, if any man say he has not sinned, he's a liar. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. He said, you sin by not confessing your sin. And you sin by not being in fellowship with him and the brethren. My little children, these things are out of you that you sin not. Notice I love this part. If any man sin, we have an advocate. He's an intercessor alongside. He's took my case and he's an advocate, a mediator unto God. Amen. For me, when I sin, I can go to him and he takes care of it. I can't take care of it. I can only take the case to him and he'll take the case to the Father and represent me as my advocate, thank God, as my lawyer, as one, thank God, that takes the case. Amen. Because he's our Father. Amen. He's our Lord. And he goes before the Father, thank God. And he ain't never lost the case. If we've got true repentance and we go to our advocate with what we're facing, he knows what to tell the Father in our behalf, thank God, to get us clear of the matter. Amen. The problem today is sin so lightly treated. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the only righteous one. We're righteous because he gives us his righteousness, imputed it to us, and we got that by believing him, amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Notice this. Again, Gnosticism. And he is a propitiation for our sins, atonement. Appease God. The wrath of God was upon him. He died on Calvary. He was punished on Calvary. He suffered on Calvary. Thank God that he could be the one, thank God, amen, to forgive us. Amen. And be that one for between us and God. That's the reconciler. He's the redeemer. We call him our redeemer. He redeemed us, amen, from sin. In whom we have redemption. In whom is the person him, Christ. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What's that mean, preacher? What it says. Can I tell you this? It's further than the Jew. This Bible is a Jewish book. Even though it's written, epistles is written to Gentile churches. But brethren, listen, every author in this Bible, unless Luke was a Gentile, was a Jew. He had a Jewish audience. Thank God the wall of partition was broke down. Thank God at Calvary. And it opened up to Jew and Gentile alike. And whosoever will let him come take of the water of life freely and believe on Christ. And everybody, thank God's in the same body, whether they Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female. And everybody has access to God personally, their self. The veil's been rent. Thank God for that. Brother, there ain't nobody in this church more saved than anybody else. There ain't no such a thing. If you're saved, you're as saved as Paul was.
You are saved, thank God, as any man's ever been saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. As any man should boast, brother, and listen, that was a message God gave Paul. Hey, God, the gospel of the grace of God in Christ. Amen. It wasn't the law, it was the grace of God. John knew it. John was the beloved disciple. He knew the love of God. He wrote about it. What's greater than that? And this is what he said. And hereby we do know God. Hereby we do know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments. He said the manifestation, listen, the manifestation that will come through a child of God is obedience and love. Every commandment hangs on to both of the love commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and prophets. Every bit of it. Verse 4, and he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar and the truth is not in him. He's just saying that because these people believe you can go out and live the way you want to and use your body and and live the way you want to. You know what? I like what old Brother Lockheed said. I remember going to camp meeting after I got saved. I remember him preaching. And this is what he said from the pulpit one night. That's the first camp meeting I went to. And Brother James Lockheed, he's dead now. He said this. He said, I do everything I want to. God just changed my want to. He said, I robbed as many banks as I wanted to today. I drank as much liquor as I wanted to today. He said, I'm drinking from another fountain now, thank God. And he said, this God changed my want to. And he'll change your want to. This old flesh still wants to do anything it can. My enemy's myself. That's the biggest enemy I got, myself. When I look in the mirror, I can say, how you doing today, number one enemy? Amen. I said this not long ago. I said every child could be named Adam. Because he's born a sinner. Amen. Amen. You know who the number one enemy of you is yourself. And the only victory you have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why Jesus gets glory out of that? He gets glory out of everything in your life. He'll bring glory out of everything in your life. You might listen. Thank God you might get in a bad fix. And you might do things you know you wouldn't do usually. And God still will bring glory out of that. He will. Here's the amazing thing. He can take a man like you and like me that had the foul living of the flesh and of by the nature children of wrath, that done what we wanted to, serve the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind and everything else, and God put His Holy Ghost in you and all of a sudden straighten you up and walk in you and through you. And, brethren, treat us like she treats that little girl. She cooks, hey, feed her and everything else. But, brethren, when they get this boy's age over here, he's got to feed himself because he's grown in grace and it's time to feed yourself. And you know where the feeding comes from. Amen. That's just the way the Christian life is. Amen. The older you get, the more temptation, the more battles. Amen. That's just the way it is. And listen, God gets glory out of that because, amen, look at what John said to the young men, to the older men. He named them in order there, thank God. And I'm telling that, brother, he's saying, amen, I write this to you, I write this to you, I write this to you. And every one of them dealt with periods of growth in life in the grace of God because that's what he knew. Amen. The word perfect don't mean without sin. In most of the places in the Bible, it means fully mature. We're complete in Him. The only completeness you've got is in Him, but there is growth in God. And that's where you get. Love's the greatest thing. The greatest thing I know, love. Love covers a multitude of sin. If you love God,
you'll live for God. That's the evidence of it. If you love me, thank God. If I love you, it's evidence, thank God, that the Holy Spirit's in me. Spiritual love. That's a blessing, ain't it? You love sinners too, if you're saved. You love people. You want to help them. They might be the only Jesus you see, and I know that's been said down through the years, but they'll see Jesus in your life when you don't have to. And you do it anyway because you love them and care for them. That's when the manifestation of love comes. That's the God of heaven. Amen. Love fulfills the law. It's the fulfiller of the law. Love is. It fulfills the law. Don't live in the law. Live in grace. If you live in law, you only hurt yourself. Live in grace, you're blessed. Because the law condemns. You can't live enough in the law to get the blessings of God. But you can live in the grace of God in Christ and do much more. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that's where the victory's at. Bless the Lord for it. Let's stand tonight. Thank you for hearing me. May God add his blessing to it.